We'll go now to John's Gospel, chapter 17, and I'll read from verse 6 through 19. In this chapter, Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples with him at that time, prays for believers that would come after them as well, on up into where we are now. I'll pick up in verse 6 where Jesus is praying, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Let us pray. Our Father, who has spoken to us most of all by sending your Son, He is the truth. Your word is truth. Speak to us now through your word. Sanctify us. Make us more like Jesus. Bring us more into the glory where he already dwells. We just await now with receptive hearts and minds your word for us as it's preached today. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. About a year ago, Lifeway Research published some findings that he had gathered on prayer. Did a search, project of research on prayer. Participants in it were asked about things like how often they pray each day, how frequently they believe that their prayers are answered. They were asked about the kinds of things that they pray for as well. Most folks, as far as Americans who were praying, typically we're told prayed for their family, for their friends. They prayed about problems they have in their lives or difficulties they have in their lives. They pray for with thanks for God's greatness and God's goodness. They also intercede for others, especially praying for government officials, for people who've been through natural disasters, people of other faiths or no faith. They pray for celebrities or other folks in the public eye. These are some of the things that Americans who are praying about. And they pray, like I said, for their personal problems and difficulties. You may see yourself or experience yourself in some of these kinds of things that the research revealed folks in America are praying for or praying about. When asked if they had ever prayed for enemies or for people who had harmed them or a loved one in some way. A significant number of people said they had prayed for enemies. A smaller percentage of respondents acknowledged, though, praying for bad things to happen to a bad person or for God to avenge someone who had hurt them or maybe had hurt a loved one of theirs. And then on the lighter side, as you moved a little bit further down the list and saw percentages show up as well, there were smaller percentages of people who had prayed for things like winning the lottery, or they had prayed for their favorite team to win the game, or they had prayed for a good parking spot, or they had been praying not to get caught speeding, these kinds of things. Maybe you recognize yourself in some of those prayer intercessions as well. But I suppose that overall these responses to the prayer research reveal some interesting things that are on the hearts and minds of people, but also maybe some questionable things that are on the hearts and minds of people as they come prayerfully into the Lord's presence with their requests and their intercessions and their petitions. Interestingly, though, one of the things that didn't show up a lot in the statistics that I saw was prayer for safety. Prayer for safety. After all, this seems to be one of the most common things that we regularly ask God for. Maybe it's in a worship service or a small group or personal reflections and devotions where somebody is praying. Odds are pretty likely that at some point in that prayer, you're going to hear that person express some kind of desire for God's protection, God's guidance, God's watching over them in some way. Prayer for safety. It gets expressed in various kinds of ways, in different kinds of contexts. Sometimes we pray for others to have a safe trip. Those kinds of prayers are even more common this time of the year with folks coming and going from their summer vacations. You might hear a lot of those kinds of prayers. Sometimes we ask God to guard those who are in extremely dangerous or vulnerable kinds of situations or risky kinds of situations, maybe like somebody in the military. Sometimes we pray for God to protect those who are vulnerable to harm, maybe like folks who are exposed to a natural disaster of some sort, maybe a case like that. Sometimes we ask God to watch over the sick or to keep those who are near death, these kinds of situations. We could also include folks who pray for what's often called a hedge of protection around their family members or their friends or their loved ones. This particular approach to prayer or this method of prayer is widespread among lots of Christians nowadays too. One of the reasons I think that prayers for protection are so common is that issues of security and safety are so common in our daily lives, more so in fact in all kinds of ways. Nowadays we live in homes equipped with security systems, we drive in cars that surround us with airbags, we insure our homes, we insure our health, we insure our possessions, we even in some cases insure our pets, our other belongings, we insure all kinds of things. We make sure our immunizations are up to date, we make sure that our kids have on helmets and knee pads, we keep a bottle of hand sanitizer within reach at all times, it seems like, in different kinds of settings. We make sure that our computer antivirus software is up to date. We make sure that all of our files are backed up as well. We pass through checkpoints as we enter our own workplace each day. So it's not surprising that in an atmosphere where safety and security are top priorities, the way that we pray and the kinds of priorities that you hear in people's prayers reflect this deeper and deeper concern for divine protection. Protection. And this whole subject of divine protection comes up in this morning's scripture passage from John chapter 17. Remember that John 17 is Jesus' prayer to God on the eve of his own death. That's crucial to know when this is happening. Every prayer is important, but when Jesus is praying on the eve of arrest and torture and execution, we may tend to pay even more attention to what he's praying about, the kinds of things he's talking to God about. And in the opening section of his prayer, part that I didn't read, Jesus prays to God for himself and for his work. He prays that God will glorify him and that he will glorify God. Now, glorify means that the presence of God will be revealed. The identity of God will be revealed, most of all in Jesus. So Jesus is praying that that will happen. So Jesus begins his prayer by praying for himself, that God will finish this work of salvation, the work of revealing his love for the world that he's begun through him. And then we come to this morning's focal passage, the part that I read to you a few minutes ago, where Jesus shifts from praying for himself to praying for the future life of his followers. And he prays first for those initial disciples with him, asking God to protect them, to keep them unified. He prays that God will place the joy of Jesus in them, that they'll grow in holiness through God's word. And Jesus even acknowledges that his followers aren't necessarily of the world, though they're still in the world. They haven't been removed from the world. They're in the world, like we are, where we need to be, where Jesus intends us to be, we're told, so that God's love for the world can be known and believed in and received by others and lived and deepened further into ourselves. Jesus says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Notice how Jesus asked God to protect the community of his followers. He asked God to protect the community of his followers and to do so by the power of your name. Now, in this case, Jesus isn't using name in a real narrow sense, like a specific name of God we may use like Father or Lord. Those have to do with the name of God. But in this particular case, Jesus isn't using power of your name in that narrow sense, as if we can somehow, if we just know the right name of God to invoke, we can do that, and it will put this security around us that can't be breached. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. No, when Jesus says that he has revealed God's name, he means that he has come to reveal the character of God, the identity of God, the purpose of God, the nature of God, what God is doing, what God is up to. In fact, that's what Jesus' whole ministry has been about, to make known God's saving love for the world. It's on that basis. Well, that is the foundation, that Jesus asked God to protect his followers. Now, it's also important, I think, to reflect on what Jesus means. What does Jesus mean when he asks God to protect or safeguard the community of believers? I don't believe that Jesus means protection in the sense of freedom from any and every kind of harm or danger or risk. He's not talking about being shielded from any kind of danger or every kind of danger or every possible potential kind of danger. That's not the kind of protection he's strictly talking about here. No, in this case, in this prayer, protection has more to do with keeping this community of Jesus followers grounded in what Jesus has shown them about God. Keep my people grounded in what you have shown them about God through me, is part of what Jesus is praying for. In other words, when Jesus asked God to protect his followers, he's not only asking God to watch over them, that's part of it, but most of all, he's praying that his followers will be true to what they know about God through Jesus. Whatever may happen to them in terms of risks or dangers or threats or harm, that they'll stay true to what they've seen about God in Jesus. One of the big reasons that Jesus prays this way during this particular passage is because during his own ministry, he's been responsible for forming and shaping and safeguarding this community of followers, his community of believers who have received him and trusted in him. And now, as he prepares to depart himself to be with the Father, he takes the life of his community of followers, and he entrusts it to God through prayer. Through prayer, Jesus takes the future of his followers individually together as well. He takes the future of his followers individually and together, and he hands that over to the Father. Trusting that this work of salvation the Father has begun, the Father will bring to completion. That's part of what Jesus is praying about here. And so that means that all of our prayers, including our prayers for safety and our prayers for protection, are offered in light of what God has already done through Jesus and in anticipation of what God has promised to do through Jesus when he comes again. So we're always praying in that in-between time of what God has already accomplished through Jesus and what he's promised to bring to completion when Jesus comes again, so that if Jesus has already taken our lives as believers, if he's taken our lives as believers individually and our life together as the community of his followers, if he's taken our lives and our future and already placed that securely in the hands of the Father, we're told, if he's done that, then we can pray with assurance and confidence in our union with Christ and with each other, no matter what else happens, because of what God has already done for us through Christ. And if we receive the Son and are part of this community of Jesus followers, Jesus has already taken our lives and our church, placed us securely in the hands of the Father. We can pray with assurance, with confidence, whatever else may happen to us. Now, that doesn't mean that we stop praying for safety or for protection or to be guarded and guided. We still pray that God will guard us and watch over us and watch over our loved ones. That's still a legitimate part of our praying. In fact, you can find in the Bible that it's filled with those kinds of prayers for protection and safety and so on. But what's crucial, I think, for us to remember is that though that can still be a legitimate part of our praying, prayers for safety and protection shouldn't dominate our praying necessarily or be the highest priority in our praying. Look at the life and ministry of Jesus and the life of his early followers and the lives of so many followers since then. If you look at Jesus and the lives of his early followers there in the church, you'll see that they don't spend the bulk of their time praying for safety or protection. Physical safety, it turns out, isn't their top priority. It's true. It's on their radar. It's still on our radar. But their top priority in praying, we're told, is their focus on the saving, sovereign presence of God, whatever happens, and the kingdom of God that's been given to them as their mission. That's the primary focus of their prayers. And like I mentioned earlier, I think our often intense concern and prayerfulness about safety and protection is partly a reflection of the atmosphere that we live in nowadays, with our focus on security and safety and protection, those kinds of things. But in other parts of the world, where being a Christian brings with it even greater risks, including physical harm, we often come to hear, worship and prayer in those kinds of settings can often take on a different tone. Yes, there'll be prayers for protection, prayers for safety, prayers to be watched over and guarded. Brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe join us in praying for safety and in praying for protection. But lots of our fellow disciples, we hear, are praying for things that are even more pressing than just safety. Things like faithfulness, obedience, devotion, courage, boldness, these kinds of things. there's an author who highlights some questions that are asked by a group called Asian Access. It's a Christian missions agency in South Asia. And these, as it turns out, are some of the questions asked to determine a new convert's readiness to follow Christ. Are you willing to leave home and lose the blessing of your father? Are you willing to lose your job? Are you willing to go to the village and those who persecute you and forgive them and share the love of Christ with them? Are you willing to give an offering to the Lord? Are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? Are you willing to go to prison? Are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing to die for Jesus? These are the kinds of questions that arise when following Jesus is primarily a matter of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, rather than simply trying to use Jesus as a means to promote personal safety and security. Remember that in today's text, Jesus' prayer for God to protect the community of followers is a prayer offered on the eve of Jesus' own death. Arrest, torture, execution are near. The cross is heavy on Jesus' heart and on Jesus' mind. It's true that in the other Gospels, they tell us about how Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane even prayed for God to remove this suffering. But ultimately, Jesus' prayer on the way to his death was less about, we see, his own personal safety, and more about his own faithfulness to the way of the cross and to God's will, with all the costs and the dangers that were involved. So when this prayer happens, tells us a lot about these kinds of issues too. There's a pastor named Paul Knight, who's from Grand Forks, North Dakota, and he tells about a village that he made to a place in Ethiopia where he could meet the young girl that he and his family had adopted through Compassion International. So they went there, and part of the purpose of the visit was to present gifts to this girl and her mother. They lived in what was basically a one-room home that also served as the local bar in lots of different kinds of ways. And during his particular visit, the bar started to gradually fill more and more with a lot of rowdy men. And his guide grabbed him by the arm and said, "We need to get out of here. We need to get out of here now. You must leave now." So Knight started to move, but he looked back over at the little girl, 10-year-old girl that they had adopted, and said, "But what about her?" And the guide said, "Well, this is her home. This is where she lives." And he said, "But will she be safe?" "Well," he said, "it's not really safe, but it's her home." "Well, what do you mean it's not really safe, but it's her home?" He said, "It basically means everything that you think it means, that it's not really safe, but it's her home." So Pastor Knight, as he was fighting back some tears, said, "In the midst of all that kind of risk and danger, what can she do then?" And the guide said, "Well, we always tell them that in the face of some kind of risk or danger or threat, scream and run to the church. Scream and run to the church. When you get to the church, you'll find love and safety and security. The church will shelter you." So when they feel threatened or vulnerable, he says, the instruction is the same. Scream and run to the church. The church as a place of safety, place of security. I think in many ways that's part of what forms our deep connection to the church in lots of ways, is that sense of safety, that sense of security. But we live in a day and time when it seems like even that part of life in the church is in increasing jeopardy with this summer's shootings at the church in Charleston, South Carolina, cases of sexual abuse within the church, vandalism on church property and things like this. Lots of insurance companies that specialize in the unique needs and circumstances of churches are starting to urge churches to form what's now called a safety ministry in order to ensure and manage risk better, the kinds of exposures that churches have to security issues, to danger issues, these kinds of things. So now more than ever, you know as well as I do that the church needs prayer. The church needs prayer, including the prayers of Jesus, who we're told continually intercedes for us with the Father. We see that happening in our scripture passage today. And no doubt, as Jesus continues to pray for us, his church, he still asks for God to protect us. And I believe that's important. But I think that most of all, Jesus prays that we, as his people, will remain true to what we have seen about God in Jesus. And that will keep us unified. That will keep us faithful. It'll keep us true to who God is, to who we are, and to what God has sent us to do. From our scripture passage here today, remember that protection and safety, as important as they are in this prayer that we hear Jesus or overhear Jesus saying to the Father here today, God's protection in the deepest sense isn't ultimately about freedom from all pain, shelter from all risk, or being shielded from all dangers and suffering. No, God's protection means that for those who have received him and his love by receiving in faith the Son, the present threats of this life, the forces of evil, the very power of hell itself, cannot sever the relationship between those who have received the Son and the Father. None of these dangers or threats of this present life, the forces of evil, or as I said, even the very power of hell itself, can sever this relationship, we're told, between the Father and those who receive the Son by faith. God's protection, God's safeguarding us, is still important. God's watchfulness over us is still important. We ought to pray about that in our lives, but as I said, we ought not have it dominate our prayers, because God's protection really is ultimately about living boldly and faithfully and obediently for Christ in a dangerous world where Christ's will and Christ's way are often resisted in lots of different ways, and all the while abiding in the faithful love of God, trusting that love to keep us united with Christ and to keep us united with each other, no matter what else happens to us in our lives. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you that you do love us and care about us and that you watch over us. We do ask for your protection, for you to guard us. But we also pray for even greater things like boldness and faithfulness and obedience and courage. We know that we live in a dangerous world where there are many risks and threats. We pray that you keep us alert and vigilant and planning and preparing in ways that we need to. But we pray most of all that you keep us faithful to what you've shown us about yourself in Jesus, that you keep us united with you and with each other, that you help us to abide in your unchanging love, no matter what life brings or what happens to us. trusting that when we receive your Son, that nothing can sever our relationship with you and separate us from your love in him. We just praise you for what you've already done for us through Christ, for what you promised to do when he comes again. We thank you that he still prays for us, interceding for us, for our protection, for our unity and faithfulness. We just pray now in his name. Amen.